Radio Prague News.
A Russian military airplane crashed while making a landing at the Chaslov Air Force Base close to midday Wednesday. The government has approved a package of austerity measures for 2013, and farmers slowed traffic around the country in protest of the government's decision to slash tax refunds on biofuel. A Russian military airplane crashed while making a landing at the Chaslov Air Force Base close to midday on Wednesday. The plane swerved off the landing strip and a fire broke out on board. Of the 23 passengers and crew, 7 are reported to have suffered serious burns and injuries. No deaths have been reported. The plane was carrying 14 Russians and 9 Czechs. There have been reports of landing gear failure. The government on Wednesday approved a series of austerity measures for 2013, including a 1% hike in VAT to 15% and 21% respectively, fewer tax reliefs for entrepreneurs and no tax refunds on biofuel for farmers. The measures, which have yet to be approved by Parliament and signed into law by the President, should help bring the gap in public finances to below 3% of GDP. The government's decision to remove tax rebates on fuel and to introduce a consumption tax on wine was behind a nationwide farmers' protest held on Wednesday. Farmers brought out around 2,000 heavy farm vehicles, such as tractors and harvesters, on 185 roads around the country to deliberately slow traffic. The Association of Czech Farmers, which argues that the move will strip Czech farmers of their competitiveness within the EU, has warned that more protests will take place in the coming weeks and months. The leadership of public affairs has voted to renew the membership of the party's informal leader Vít Bárta, who received an 18-month suspended sentence for corruption a few weeks ago. Bárta has also been assigned the task of coordinating the work of the party's commission of experts. Public affairs, which split and was forced into opposition by the scandal, is now trying to regroup and prepare for the autumn Senate and local elections. Party leader Radek Jón has said he will seek re-election at the party's June conference. A proposed redistribution of tax revenue approved by the government on Wednesday would see bigger towns lose out to smaller ones. In line with an agreement reached between the governing parties, smaller and medium-sized towns would now get some 2,000 crowns more from state funds per inhabitant. If the amendment is approved by Parliament, Prague would lose out on 650 million annually, Brno 203 million, Ostrava 158, and Plzeň 90 million crowns less from state coffers as of 2013. The vast majority of Czechs want smoke-free restaurants. According to the latest survey results, 78% of respondents, including many smokers, said they would welcome a smoking ban in restaurants across the board. 40% of Czech smokers would support such a ban. It is now up to individual restaurant and pub owners to decide whether or not to ban smoking. A large number of them fear that by doing so, they would lose many of their regulars. Efforts to approve a smoking ban in eateries across the country have repeatedly failed in the past. And finally, a quick look at the weather forecast. The coming days should bring partly cloudy skies with scattered showers and a drop in day temperatures to around 20 degrees Celsius. I'm Daniela Lazarová, and that's the end of the news.
You're tuned to Radio Prague, the international service of Czech radio, with me, Jan Wellinger. Coming up in today's program, the Parliamentary Committee on Mandates and Immunity voted unanimously to recommend MP David Rath be stripped of immunity and prosecuted for corruption. An historic Czechoslovak-built tank will be returned to the Czech Republic from Peru as Prague and Lima mark 90 years of diplomatic relations. Then, a little later in the program, stay tuned for a new edition of Marketplace with Jan Richter. He'll be talking to Czech Tourism's Rostislav Vondruška about tourism in the Czech Republic, both success stories and areas where the sector can still improve. The Parliamentary Committee on Mandates and Immunity on Tuesday voted unanimously to recommend MP David Rath be stripped of immunity and prosecuted for corruption. After a two-hour meeting with Dr. Rath and studying part of the police evidence against him, the parliamentarians were unconvinced by his claims of a conspiracy against his person and his not knowing he had received a box full of bribery money. Many of them shared new details of the arrest, evidence and the condition of the fallen governor himself. Christian Falvey has the story.
The 14 members of the Immunity Committee seemed shocked to see one of their own in such a state. A high-flying politician who has served as a union leader, governor of central Bohemia, minister of health, and one of the most boisterous speakers in parliament, David Rath has spent the last nearly 2 weeks in a prison that the media describes as one of the toughest. The committee that voted in unison to give Rath up for investigation also seemed to be in agreement that the venomous orator, famous for his verbal attacks on other MPs, had taken a big piece of humble pie. Its members, among them politician Radakion, described his demeanour at the hearing they held with him on Tuesday, the first news of his personal condition since his arrest.
He said that he wouldn't wish this experience on his worst enemy, that his career was finished, and that he would be spending the rest of his life getting out of it. His fall must have been truly nightmarish. For the first time we saw a Dr. Rath who was not arrogant, which does not mean he won't be a hard adversary for the police and do everything in his power to debase the evidence against him. He claims it was personal revenge, that it was a baited trap. He said that if they had put wiretaps in the bedrooms of any politician for half a year, they would find something on them, which is an unacceptable argument.
What Mr. Rath apparently did not know prior to the hearing was that the members had that morning seen the police video and audio evidence against him. Radekion says that Mr. Rath and others could be heard reveling in and sifting through 24 million that they divided amongst themselves, planning how to destroy the currency slips. According to the website Parlamentni Listi, they parted ways with suspected co-conspirator Petr Kot, saying, "Here's your wine, drink it in moderation." Kot could next be heard in the recordings, looking out the window and saying, "It's the rapid reaction force, we're screwed." Mr. Yon, himself no stranger to corruption cases, detailed much of the evidence that the police shared with the committee. He describes an arrest of the utmost professionalism. Rath was stopped outside the home of Mr. Kot. The police informed him he was under arrest and would search his person, but needed an independent witness. When one arrived, the governor's possessions were searched, all on video camera, which does not show that the box of money was taken out of sight and brought back, as Mr. Rath contends. A large box enough for 6 bottles of wine was then opened, revealing 7 million crowns. According to Mr. Yon, Rath spends about half the time of the recording explaining that he is Dr. Rath and that he has political immunity. That, however, is of little use when a politician is caught in the act of a crime.
Christian Falvey with the latest there in the developments or the case against Dr. Rath, who is accused of having accepted bribery money of 7 million crowns. Of course, that case is still taking up many of the headlines in the Czech Republic. And if you'd like to comment on the case, if you have an opinion or would like to react, please do so by writing us at the station. The address is english@radio.cz. Prague and Lima have been marking the 90th anniversary of diplomatic relations this week through a number of events, including a ceremony in Lima preceding the return of an historic Czechoslovak-built tank to the Czech Republic. The LTP-38, as it is known, was built for Peru in the late 1930s, designed specifically for high terrain. Originally, there were 24 of the armored fighting vehicles. Peru's ambassador to Prague, Marita Landaveri, spoke to Radio Prague this week.
The Czech Republic has sought the donation of one of these tanks that still existed in Peru. Finally, on Monday, the tank was donated in a ceremony by our Minister of Defense. The move came just as we're celebrating 90 years of diplomatic relations with first Czechoslovakia, now the Czech Republic, and that's a good sign.
An agreement on the gift was signed 2 years earlier between Prague's Military Institute and the town of Malendo, which owned the tank, in return for funding, a $50,000 donation for the building of a new library. The Czech Republic, on the other hand, will receive a military vehicle with a fascinating history. The LTP-38s were delivered in 1938 and 39 and were used to suppress a coup in Peru later in the year. They were also used in armed conflict between Peru and Ecuador in 1941. Before that, ahead of the Nazi occupation of Bohemia and Moravia in 1939, they stood ready for the defense of the Republic, but instead, as is well known, the troops were ordered to stand down. Under the name Panzerkampfwagen 38, the same model was also used during the Second World War by Nazi Germany and fellow Axis forces. In a past interview on the occasion of the signing of the original deal with Malendo, the head of the Military History Institute, Aleš Knížek, said the tanks were exceptionally well designed by ČKD, together with Škoda Plzeň, which provided the weapon system, and that the firms had beat out numerous competitors. The tanks were built specifically to operate as high up as 4,500 meters above sea level. A third of them still exist.
I know of 8 existing LTP tanks in Peru that I saw with my own eyes. Most of them are on pedestals and only 2 are complete. That means they have the engine and the transmission system intact. One is even still roadworthy and is still used in traditional military parades in Lima. The Military Academy also has a large metal fresco honoring battles of the Peruvian army, and that includes a depiction of the Czechoslovak-built tank.
Military history buffs have plenty to look forward to. Upon arrival in Prague, the Czech Republic's newest acquisition will reportedly be exhibited for a year at the Military History Institute in Prague, after which it will be transferred to the Institute's museum in Lešany, where it will undergo restoration work. It will then be made part of the permanent exhibit. Just a reminder, you're listening to Radio Prague, the international service of Czech radio. You can find more news and stories, as always, at radio.cz. We turn now to our main feature for this day, though, which is Marketplace with Jan Richter. He'll be talking to the head of Czech tourism.
The Czech Republic is becoming more popular with foreign tourists. The latest figures show that in the first 3 months of this year, almost 1.3 million tourists visited the country, which represents a 13% increase compared to the same period last year. German tourists continue to top the list of foreign visitors, followed by Russians, who are the fastest growing group. I discussed the developments with Rostislav Vondruška, the head of the state agency Czech Tourism.
I'm very pleased with the numbers, of course. The thing is that it's only first quarter of the year, that's first. And second, this is a follow-up of the trends that we can see all over the world. And it shows that people have a confidence to travel, and they are not afraid so much. They don't care about the consequences of the financial or economic crisis yet.
So why is it Czech Republic that's becoming more attractive, generally speaking? Is it the security situation in the Czech Republic that brings more people to visit?
That's only one reason of many, I would say, but it's very, very significant and important one. The second one that would follow is, I would say, very good ratio price and value. Because you can really book 4 or 5 star hotels, excellent services, for a very, very competitive prices now.
Well, some analysts seem to believe that the ratio is more inclined towards the lower price than the higher quality. Do you think that the quality of services is now coming to par with, for example, some with destinations in Western Europe?
See, it goes hand in hand always. You know, you can. Dump prices, and if you have zero quality, nobody would buy it. So it's not the price only. The certain ratio towards quality is required and has to be there. So I would say that the quality is very comparable to any country in the world, not only Western Europe.
Now, when it comes to countries of origin, most people still come from Germany, but the fastest growing group are Russian tourists. Why do you think that is?
I think Germany is traditionally number one feeding markets for Czech Republic, and it's very close by, and the culture is not so different, so people know perfectly what to buy and what they want to buy. And concerning Russia, you know, there's a still visa policy, which in the situation of the issuing visa has improved a lot specifically with Russia recently, and the numbers just show it, you know, that the Russians love to travel to Czech Republic. They like not only spas, but they like shopping opportunities and options that our country offers in active holidays.
Are you working together with the foreign ministry to perhaps ease the conditions for tourist visas for Russian citizens?
We have very frequent dialogues with that, and it's not about easing or improving the situation visa in Russia specifically, because their situation has improved a lot already, and we see some challenges more in Ukraine or Kazakhstan.
What other countries are in your primary focus for this season? Where would you like to improve? From which countries would you like to see more tourists coming to the Czech Republic?
Well, definitely a very wanted tourists are from Scandinavia, but we are looking at the markets like more or less traditional markets like Spain or Italy, which are a little bit hit by the economic situations, but the numbers are also very positive, and we are trying to find new themes like regional themes for these traditionally Catholic Christian countries.
Well, getting tourists outside the capital and perhaps a few other destinations like Český Krumlov and Karlovy Vary, that has been a challenge for years now. Have you seen any improvement over the last years? I mean, are more tourists now visiting also Czech regions?
Yes, slowly but surely. We see people finding new destinations besides Prague and Český Krumlov, as you said, and maybe Karlovy Vary, Carlsbad. And it shows not only in leisure tourism, but also in so-called MICE, so congresses and events. We are working closely with 13 now regional tourist boards, and it's a long run, though. You know, you cannot see really results from year to year.
When you look at the quality of services that we mentioned earlier, when you compare them, when you compare the quality of services in Prague and the regions, is the gap still very big, or how do you see that situation there?
If there is an infrastructure, then the gap is not big. If there is an infrastructure, if there is a missing infrastructure, of course, there's a gap that cannot be, you know, overbridged easily, because you either have five-star hotel or you don't. There's nothing in between.
Are foreign investors perhaps, or some of the hotel chains, interested in opening up branches outside the capital?
See, I think the investment into the leisure infrastructure has slowed down recently all over the world. And I think it will take some time before the eagerness for hotel investments will grow again.
Well, this year, the major campaign launched by Czech Tourism is focusing on cultural heritage and the Czech Republic as a land of stories. How exactly should that work? How exactly are you planning to attract people based on this campaign?
Well, there are two things, actually. The cultural heritage has been worked with as a 20th anniversary of UNESCO sites. We are the country with the highest density of UNESCO sites in the world, comparing to the land, and so it's a good opportunity to show that we are the cultural historical destination. And the other thing, the new visual style, or that's part of the bigger project that we want to introduce country as a country full of stories that happened centuries ago or just recently, and we want to show famous persons that has been in interaction either with Prague or any other part of the Czech country, and we want to motivate people. If they look at the stories, we want to motivate them to come and live their own story in Czech Republic.
Aren't you concerned that it might be perhaps sometimes challenging to explain the sometimes rather complicated historical context of some of the stories? I'm talking, of course, about the fact that the Czech Republic was not always purely ethnically Czech, which is something that the current political system has still issues to address.
That's a big challenge for sure, but we are working with a team of experts, and of course we want to relate these famous persons to the markets, to the feeding markets, where they know very very well about that famous person that has lived in Czech Republic or visited several times. So we will not try to introduce play with Mozart in Russia, but we find the suitable historical person.
Last year, Czech tourism had an interesting campaign trying to present the Czech Republic as an ideal romantic destination. Was that a success? Did you see the number of foreigners getting married, for instance, in the Czech Republic?
It probably didn't have impact in hundreds of thousands, but it brought a good portion of business to our historical sites, to the castles and manors. And I think that was a typical example what this campaign brought to the regional economics, because most of them were outside Prague.
2 years ago, when you were the Minister of Regional Development, you said new legislation was needed to sort of define the sometimes overlapping competences of the various bodies in the field of tourism and incoming tourism especially. The legislation is still not passed. Where do you see the problem there?
It definitely has started, and I think there was many subjects involved in the process of preparing the legislation, and also the wish of the ministry to have the important players involved. So after the law is or passes, there is no need for immediate changes in the law. And as far as I know, the law is now being put into the paragraphs, and most of the objection has been solved now, except the one with the Ministry of Finance, and that will probably remain so.
So how will it change the way the regions are now working with you, for instance? How will the competences change there?
Well, the competences will change in a sense that when the law is in place, the subjects will know exactly what is their responsibility, and if they want to use the responsibility, they would have to allocate budgets for that, because it doesn't work without money. So there will be newly and clearly set rules.
You've been listening to Marketplace, and Jan Richter's guest this week was Rostislav Vondruška, the head of Czech tourism. Now, though, we turn to today's final feature, which is our continuing long-running series, actually now in reruns, the ABC of Czech with Pavla Horáková.
Ahoj.
Welcome back to ABC of Czech, Radio Prague's special language program that looks at Czech language. I am Heather Baun and
Martin Mikule
joins me in the studio. In today's program, we are looking at wishes.
Přání.
In Czech. Not the kind that you make to the stars.
Hvězdy.
But those made on special occasions, such as birthdays.
Narozeniny.
And in this traditionally Catholic country, on name days.
Svátky.
I know this tradition best from my year at a Czech secondary school, when one of my classmates had a name day.
Svátek.
He or she went around the classroom and said,
Dnes mám svátek.
Today is my name day. Then offered us each a candy. After accepting the candy, and while shaking our classmate's hand, we would say, I wish you all the best on your name day.
Přeji ti všechno nejlepší k svátku.
And most of all, that you would be healthy and happy.
A hlavně, abys byl zdravý a šťastný.
Then we sealed our wishes with a peck, on the lips or on the cheek. This is an important Czech tradition and an invaluable asset, especially if you have Czech friends. Now we will go over how to wish someone well in a formal situation or more than one person.
Přeji vám všechno nejlepší.
I wish you all the best. If your wishes are for a birthday, then you say
K narozeninám.
Literally, to the birthday. If you remember from earlier, for a name day, you say
K svátku.
To the name day. The next part of the wish, health and happiness, takes a different form, depending on who you are wishing well. To a group, you say
Abyste byli zdraví a šťastní.
To a man
Abyste byl zdraví a šťastný.
Or to a woman
Abyste byla zdravá a šťastná.
One last thing. When Czechs are wishing each other well, they begin by shaking hands, and continue to do so until their well-wishing is complete. I recently watched two women in a train station who seemed to have crossed paths by chance, stand with their hands clasped for at least 5 minutes. I watched them enviously. While there are many things I feel at home with in the Czech Republic, long handshakes are one of the subtleties I have not yet mastered. Thanks for joining us. I wish you all the best, and most of all that you are healthy and happy.
A hlavně, abyste byli zdraví a šťastní.
Take care.
Mějte se.
The ABC of Czech with Pavla Horáková. And if you've been learning Czech or you enjoy our various language series, don't forget you can find them all at our website easily to listen again or simply just to practice. The address is radio.cz. And unfortunately, we are once again out of time. I'm Jan Vellinger. For myself and all of us here at Radio Prague, we want to thank you so much for joining us and take care.